He wants to fill our lives more than we know that He wants to fill our lives. And so I want to continue talking a little bit about the Holy Spirit this morning. And I covet your prayers. I was thinking what a privilege it is to have a personal one, the guide from heaven, to live here himself. That's what he said he would do. He said he would live in us, and there's some things that he would do for us if he lives in us. And so I want to look at a number of scriptures here this morning about the Spirit of God and the blessing that he wants it to be and how we come to that. I was reading in John, the 16th chapter, and the 13th verse, and it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come," 16 and 13, "when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." You know, the Lord wants to be in us a personal revelation. He wants to be in us the personal power, the strength of the Spirit of God. He wants to live in our hearts. And in our very being, the Lord wants to be there this morning. And he said, when he, and he calls it the Spirit of truth. He said, when the Spirit of truth is come, I really think that can clue us in just a little bit this morning of why there are so many misconceptions about serving God this morning. The Lord wants to send to us personally, into our hearts, into our lives, indwelling in us the Spirit of truth. That Spirit of truth is not going to lie to us. And if we start taking our own mind, that Spirit of truth is going to start knocking there. He's going to start letting us know, you're getting off on your own here. That's what the Spirit of truth wants to do. It's the Spirit of truth. We wonder, how can there be so much error in the world today? I want to tell you something. God wants to live in our hearts and lives like he did in the first, where he began. And here he put Adam and Eve here, and they lived in a place, and God himself came down and spoke with them and talked with them and told them his thoughts about them and about life. And I can only imagine God coming down and visiting with them in some very special visits and special ways. Do you know that God today still wants to do that? He still wants to come down. And it says, when he has come, he said, the Spirit of truth, when he's come, he will guide you into all truth. Do you know that if we will follow him closely, he will be our guide through this world, through the world of religion, through the world of religions, through the world of deception, all of those things. The Spirit of truth wants to indwell our hearts and our lives, and he wants to guide us into all truth. And this morning, I hope that we can get a little brighter view of the Holy Spirit in our lives this morning. I know that Satan really hates this thing. Satan really doesn't want you to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Because if you're guided by the Holy Spirit, you're going to be guided into truth. You're going to be guided away from the world. You're going to be guided away from those things that would damage us spiritually that we would not be able to discern otherwise. It is only by that gift of God that we are able to know the truth, to really know the truth. Now, just because we know a bunch of doctrines in our mind don't mean that we know the truth. I am persuaded of that. I remember that day when I felt like I knew lots of things, and now I realize how little I knew. But I will tell you, the Spirit of God wants to wake us up to what the realities of God in our lives mean, and how that it means a new life in Him, a life there where God is the center. And our thoughts and our mind and all of that, he begins to continually through our life, He begins to teach us and to lead us and to direct us and to change our thoughts and the things that people think today about God. And they think He's in the sun, and they think He's here, and they think He's there. You know, God wants to change all of that for people. Because He wants to live in here. God Himself does. The one that made everything. The God that we read about, that we hear about, and that we love so much this morning. In John 14 and 15, a couple of chapters back, 15th verse, John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. I want to read through a little ways here this morning. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. Now, He changes the terminology here, because before He said, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, and now He says, I'm going to pray the Father, and He's going to give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I want to encourage us this morning to dwell in God, and to love the Lord, and to follow Him with all of our hearts, and all of our being. Everything we have, Lord, I want you. I want to know you. I know you're there. I know you're there. That's evident. But Lord, I want to know you. And He said here, ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And you know, sometimes, I don't know how you, sometimes it's hard to explain this in a way that people understand. But I think about people on the flip side of this, opposite this. I think about people who begin to meddle with Satan and with his things. And we find that they begin to be influenced by that. And we find that they begin to meddle in his things. And they begin to go his places and all of that. And you can tell there's something changing and something going on. But I will tell you, when people give themselves to the devil and his works, he enters them sometimes. Life becomes very different for those people. And then you see them doing really bad things. Things really change. Their life changes. You know, I know that's a hideous example to use in this way, but I will say this. We begin to follow God. We begin to hear His word preached. We humble ourselves and we repent of our sins, and He forgives us. What a blessing that is. What a place, what a treasure it is that God will forgive us for all the things we did. Evil things, wicked things, wrong things. Things, and He'll forgive all of them. What a blessing that is. And then He doesn't stop there. We keep searching for God. And we start looking for Him. And we start giving ourselves to Him. It's called sanctification. We give ourselves to holy purposes, to God Himself. And we give ourselves to Him. And I will tell you what He loves to do when we do that. He loves to indwell you and I. He loves to come right in that vessel and take that vessel and be there and be in it, and life changes from that point. And life is quite different. For me, it was very different. I will tell you this morning, God wants to live in our life and in our heart. He wants to be in us a fountain that flows up through us and out of us and feeds other people. The stream delivers water, life-giving, that thing that everybody longs for. They're thirsty. People are thirsty, aren't they? Do you know what we need to be able to give them drink? We need the Spirit of God working in our life and flowing out of our mouth and flowing out of our heart and flowing out of our giving to people and our giving to the Lord. We need that, don't we, this morning? That's the Spirit of God. And I want to encourage us this morning that we allow His work in our life. I think many times people, and I was one of them, that the very word Holy Spirit some way struck fear in my heart. I don't understand, because I see it as the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. I was saved, and I know that's really the greatest, but I will tell you, but I never experienced some of the things other people did. But when the Holy Ghost came in, I want to tell you, that is a life-changing thing. And I just want to encourage us that we draw near to the Lord. I don't want to put it on a pedestal we can't reach. But folks, give ourselves to God. Just give ourselves to Him. And let Him have our ways and our thoughts. And let Him have our future. Let Him have our problems. Let Him have the things we don't understand. And I will tell you what He will do. When we do that, we put ourselves on the altar the second time, and He comes down and blesses us again. And do you know, God wants to do that for us. That's the kind of people that keep a vision and make it all the way in throughout life. I want to encourage us today to give ourselves to the Lord this morning. We want to read a little farther. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Oh, I love that He calls it the Comforter. Because, folks, we need comfort sometimes. You ever needed comfort? I suppose you probably have if you've lived a while. We need it. We got one on board, folks. We need to take advantage of it. Yet, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. I'm going my way. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. There's going to be a real close connection between us all. But I'm going to be in you. He says, I'm in my Father, and you in me. It's just going to be one, isn't it? That's what God wants to do in our life today. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Now listen to this. This is the very beginnings of it. Why does Jesus say this so many times? But He does. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Do you see the giving of ourselves to the Lord? By loving him, by keeping his commandments, by drawing near to him, by listening to him, by putting ourselves upon the altar of God. Lord, here I am. I am a living sacrifice for you. And do you know when you do that, then that is what he wanted all along. That is, he forever wanted to live within us. He forever wanted to guide our lives and comfort us. He forever wanted to be in us a flowing well this morning. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, here it is again, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Do you know, lots of times we don't obey the Lord. And then we want Him to come unto us. We want Him to make His abode. We want Him to make His home with us. We want Him to live in us. And the Lord's saying, you've got to love me. Do you know this morning, the Lord wants us to love Him. And He said, then we will come unto Him and make our abode with Him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word, when I prick them, they don't listen. When I work with them, they don't do it. When I give them my words, they don't live by them. He says, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Wow, that's on board. that's on board. And he said, I'm going to bring all things to remembrance. Those things that I've spoken to you, those things that you sat under and listened and they didn't really penetrate you then, I'm going to bring them to your remembrance when the time comes. That to me, folks, that's a blessing, isn't it? That's a blessing to have that available to us today. I believe how few people really give themselves to God and say, Lord, I want you. I want to know you. I want you in my life. I want you to direct my paths. I want to know what you want and what you don't. I want to live in such a way that pleases you. And then he goes on to say, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. When everything's going right, they have peace. But no other time, he says, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, the Lord wants to give us on board something that gives us peace in our life. And the Lord help us. I think we live below our privileges sometimes, folks. We all do sometimes. I think we allow the enemy to get us all caught up in our own things, and we can't enjoy the things God has for us. The Lord help us today. Listen to a few witnesses here of what the Holy Ghost did in their lives. Luke 4 and 1 and 2. And Jesus, Luke 4 and 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, it says he was full of the Holy Ghost. I wonder what exactly that means. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of God in him, wasn't he? He was filled up with the things of God, with his animating character, with his animating presence and power. The Lord had drawn real close. He was in closeness with God. And he was full, it says, of the Holy Ghost. That indicates there was more than just a thread hanging on. Now, I know that we have to endure to the end. There's things we have to endure. But I want to tell you something. All through those times, folks, God wants to reveal himself to us. We get to the end of our way. All of us do, don't we? And there's God. And he wants to reveal himself again and again in our battles this morning. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. The Lord led him into this place. You know, God doesn't always lead us into the most comfortable places. But I'll tell you what happened out of there. After that time, his life was different, very different. Read that whole chapter and you find when the Lord came out of those temptations and when he came out of that place, God anointed him. He began to go forth and work miracles. And we see his life, we see that even Christ's life, who was filled with the Spirit of God from the beginning, was changed because he was led by the Spirit of God. He went into that place by the Spirit of God, and the Lord led him. This morning, I want to look at a few other places. Acts 6, in verse 3. And we find here, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report." They was having some trouble here. The Grecian widows were having a little issue, and they were murmuring because the Hebrews were getting taken better care of than they were, they felt like. And they weren't getting their needs met. And so they said, "Tell you what, brothers, you look out seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom." Kind of goes together because you got the Lord on board. And He wants to give us wisdom. He wants to give us His wisdom. And God help us today to let Him do that. "Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And you know, we find then, I want to turn over another chapter or so to 7 and 51 and look at Stephen and what was the end of him. 7 and 51. We find that by the Holy Ghost, he began to speak to these rulers that whose hearts were filled with wickedness and deceit and craft and all those things. And he said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost," listen, this work of God in our life, if we will allow Him to live in us and be full in us, that comes by us opening our lives to Him and opening our heart. "Lord, I want you to have your whole complete way in my life. I want to be where you want me to be. I want to be what you want me to be. And Lord, I'll say what you want me to say by the grace of God, if you'll help me to." Do you know that when we give ourselves like that, we make it able for God to begin to work. Now we have something on record here that they stoned Stephen. But you know, even from that time, there was a young man there named Paul. And it smote his heart. I can tell you it did. Because through the years, when the Lord struck Paul down later, he said, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." I will tell you, when Paul saw what was going on here, I'm guessing there was something happened. Something started working. That's the way it works when we allow the Spirit of God to work in our life. "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears." I can only imagine why they stopped their ears. This was too much. They saw his face as it were shining, and they heard his words. They couldn't take that. And it says here, "And the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, verse 58, "and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died right there. He sealed it with his blood, didn't he? And we find him, the last thing he said was, "Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge." Who could say that? When they're stoning him and he didn't do anything but good, and you say, "Lord, don't lay this to their charge. Don't charge them with it, Lord. Don't get them back." What man doesn't say, "Lord, get them. Get those people. Lord, cast them." I've heard people say things like that. "Cast them into hell," or whatever. They'll say things like that. They get so angry. "Oh, I hope they go there." You know, that's the carnal flesh, isn't it? God has something better than that for us this morning. And so we see Stephen here, but he was full of the Holy Ghost. And I'm persuaded he lived that way. He lived that way. This morning, I just want to challenge us today that we allow God that place in our life. We talk about the good things of God. Folks, it don't come until you get this. It don't come until you receive the Holy Ghost in your life. The good things of God are all good, and we appreciate the blessing of being saved. But folks, that is just one step. And God wants to fill us up and begin to motivate and work through us. He wants our lives to be given to Him, to His causes, to His thoughts, to His truths, to His comfort. And He needs some folks who will allow that. Luke 24 and 49. Now this was just before He was taken up. It says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." He said, "I want you to tarry. I want you to pray for this. I want you to think about this until the time comes that I'm going to fill you with power from on high." And so they did that. And we see in Acts 1 then, and verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power." Acts 1 and 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That takes it all in, doesn't it? That's where we're at here today. "I'm going to give you power to be witnesses." And while he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Do you know this morning, that was the last thing. That was one of the last things. It appears to be the last thing that he said before he was taken up. "I'm going to give you power." You know, the Lord wants to empower our lives. And I just want to challenge all of us this morning. If the devil in any way makes this strike fear in your heart or makes you afraid to give yourself to God, I want to tell you something. That is where the blessing lies. Allow God the place in your life. May He call you to something? Yes, He will. Whether that is, whatever that may be, there's many things. Then I want to tell you, God's hand will be upon us. So yes, we relinquish our life to God. We put it upon the altar and it's given to Him. A living sacrifice. We're still alive, but we're God's completely. I want to read a few other scriptures in 2 Corinthians 1 and 22. It says, Second Corinthians 1:22, "Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." You know what the earnest is? Strong's the very word that comes from in the Greek. It says of Hebrew origin, a pledge. That is part of the purchase money or property given in advance as security for the rest. Earnest. Do you suppose we're going to come up to heaven's gates and the Lord's going to say, give me the pledge? We're going to say, but Lord, I only wanted to be saved. I never wanted to serve you with all my heart. Do you know this morning, the Lord's looking for us. He wants to give us the earnest. He wants to give us the pledge that we're going to have there. I don't know how all that's going to work out. And I know that if we are saved, I believe if we're saved now, we will be saved then. But I will tell you this, the Lord wants our hearts, folks, and He's going to work with us until we give ourselves completely to Him. Let's do that today. It's the pledge of things to come. The word sealed, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. That word sealed means, in Strong's, it says to stamp with a signet or private mark for security or preservation. And it goes on. But you know that when we seal a document, it's official then, isn't it? It's something to be kept because it's proof. And so he said, we are sealed. We are sealed and given the earnest of the Spirit. Given the pledge, given the down payment of something to come this morning. And so the Lord help us today. This is good things, folks, good things. Give our life to God. I know camp meeting is just around the corner. I don't say wait till then to start seeking God, but let's start seeking God right now. Lord, I want to be full of your Spirit. I want you to have my life. Whatever you call me to, if I must go, I will. You know, when we do that, folks, God starts working in our life. Why would we hold back? Why would we be afraid to do that? I know why. I was there too. Folks, give it to God and let Him have it this morning. I believe we will do well with that. 2 Corinthians 5:5 says, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. There it is again, that down payment, that pledge. The Spirit of God is that pledge this morning. And when we come to heaven to receive the fullness, oh, we've just got a few dollars down on it. We just got a little bit down on it. But what's it going to be like, folks? We have to take our eyes off of this world and look up there to really believe this and give ourselves to it this morning. Ephesians 1. I want to read a couple of scriptures here. 1:13. It says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Here it is again. You were sealed. After you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. What is our inheritance but heaven? Eternal bliss with God is our inheritance. That is the promised possession. That is the promised prize that we have before us. And he says, it is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And to the praise of His glory. Oh, this morning, I do thank the Lord. I want to read one more place with this here, Ephesians 4:30. It also says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, this morning, folks, this is a blessing. Let us long for God. Let us long for His fullness. Let us long for His will in our life. We are hung back by so many things. Fears, troubles, desires, on and on holds us back. You know, someday I really want to give myself to the Lord. But for right now, I think I got some things I want to do. Folks, God can never and will never. He will never seal that kind of vessel. It's not His. But when we become all His, He loves to put His stamp on it. This is mine. It's preserved till the time I come back. It's the earnest. It's the pledge. You produce that with the seal. And I'll tell you what, you're going to get the inheritance then. Oh, this morning. Acts 15 and 7 to 9. There's many things the Spirit of God will do in our life. But listen to this. It says, Acts 15 and 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us. It was very clear the Lord gave them that witness. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. We can't do that, can we? Only God can purify our hearts. But He wants to do that this morning. And so I urge us to allow God to change that we have inherited. We couldn't do anything about that. It came to us. But folks, God wants to purify our hearts by faith. And He doesn't want to stop there. And I think about the scripture in 1 John 3 and 2 and 3, because I think it's necessary for us to have this in context. It says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Now, folks, there's some work got to happen for that. When we get saved, there is a lot of work to happen. I think we all probably have some more work yet to do, don't we? And it says here, And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Do you know that God equips us with the Holy Spirit to be able to start winning our battles? And He wants us to be able to begin to win. And you look at the battles. I've been reading Joshua and going through the Canaan land and all of that. It's so interesting. And you see their ups and downs. You see where Joshua made a league with them and didn't even know what he was doing. He didn't realize what he was doing. It hindered him the rest of his time because he did not seek the Lord first. But do you know that God wants us to begin the conquest of our life? We have to change old habits. The Lord changes our heart. But we got a lot of work to do between now and eternity. The Lord wants to make us gentler. All the days of our life, more and more gentle. He wants to make us more like Him. He says here, the writer John says, Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We have to keep what God has given us. We have to add to it. It's not a complete finished product. The Lord makes our heart right. And then we begin to see things change. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm speaking of our life, the flesh, the way, the propensities that we have had. We've got to begin to overcome them. And sometimes we get lax. And then we pay for that, don't we? We have to be careful. Follow the Lord. Lord, I want to be full. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. I want Your Spirit to work in my life. I want to have something that to give to other people. I want it to come flowing out of my heart. I want that. I want that, Lord. Would you impart to all of us those good things that You have? Think about the scripture that Peter says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, 2 Peter 1 and 4, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then he tells us to start adding to that. And he says, add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Manliness. Learn to man up to the things. Oh, we kind of like to look at that hard thing and makes us exhausted, want to sit down before we start. And he says, add virtue. Work on ourselves. You know what the Holy Ghost does? It makes us able to begin that life that God really wants to work through us. And it says, we know that when we see him, we'll be like him. You know why? Because he's been working on us. All through our life, he's been changing us. He's been blessing us. He's been teaching us. He's been comforting us when we stub our toe. He's been helping us. He's been comforting us when we take losses. In Acts 8 and 14, I'm going to take just a few more minutes here. Acts 8 and 14 to 17. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they were baptized, they were saved, but folks, they needed another blessing. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, this morning, I know there's different ways. There wasn't anybody around when the Lord met me. But I will tell you, and I don't boast in this, I was desperate. I had been fasting, praying, seeking God, taking evenings in my room. Lord, I want your ways. I want you to fill my life. I want to be sanctified. I want to be filled. That's what we call this morning. Sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And so this morning, I want to encourage all of us to search for all the will of God. Now, did God say we have to search and look and maybe we'll find it? No. He said, and I'll read this here, in Luke 11 and 11, it says, if a son shall ask bread, listen to the promise of the Lord himself. 11 and 11 of Luke. If a son shall ask bread, or any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I just want to put that challenge to us this morning. This is a privilege, folks. Let's seek to give ourselves fully to God, that he will fill our lives. Folks, it's the pledge. The Lord wants the pledge this morning. He wants to give it to us. It's the earnest. It's the down payment. It's the good thing that's just a little piece of what we're going to get this morning. Acts 19 and 2, we'll close with that. He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now that was the disciples of John there, I know. But I want to ask us this morning, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? If so, let's seek to give our life to God. Let's consecrate ourselves to his service, to his will, to his thoughts, to his truths, to him alone. And I believe what we will find is God himself will come back. And he said, I'll be your God. You'll be my people, and I'll be your God. This morning, I believe the Lord has more riches for us sometimes than what we take in. The Lord bless us today.